Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have incredibly exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is now available for purchase in Kindle, in Audible, and in hardcover. Anywhere that you find books, please go on Amazon, please go to whatever bookstore you like, buy yourself a copy, buy a copy for a friend. Hope that you absolutely love it. Now let's get into the show.
Your obsession can possibly bypass your ego. And I think that's what a lot of us need to do on the internet these days is understand that what's good for the ego is bad for the wallet. But the ego is always going to pull us in. What is it that you're geekly obsessed about that other people who are close to you, even your best friends, your family members, they kind of just don't get? Like, nobody holds it against you, but they kind of just don't get the way that you do. But there are other people who are obsessed about this thing the same way that you are. Like, for me, it's Ken Griffey Jr. baseball cards that are worthless that for whatever reason I just like, but like, you know, my wife obviously doesn't get it. That's actually the best way to connect with people who aren't you. And professionally, it's a way to stand out as well. So I think about somebody that we worked with, for example, her name was Christina. And so her and her partner ran 3 CrossFit gyms in and across the United States and New York State. And they decided to consolidate. So they closed down 2, they kept 1, and they wanted to build an online program. And while they had like the top gym in their area for the longest time, they had a lot of success, but they found that they were having a really, really hard time standing out online, because online they were just another person in a sea of wannabe influencers telling you to stand up and sit down, give or take 8 to 10 times, and eat more vegetables. Like, how do you stand out in a world where superficially everybody is saying the same thing as you? Is it better lighting? Is it a better camera? Is it better video edits? Probably not. Are there magic words that you can say? Like, probably not. Not to somebody who is a bystander. What you do is you figure out a way to illuminate the 1% that makes you different. And so other people who share that uncommon commonality with you, I call it that 1% uniqueness factor with you, they'll be attracted to you. So Christina was struggling, and I asked her one time, I was like, okay, well, like, what are you geekly obsessed about? What are you geekly obsessed about? What is the one thing that you're almost awkwardly obsessed about that you don't tell many people, but whenever you're not thinking about fitness, this is what you're reading about or doing? And she goes, oh my goodness, comatology and astrology. I was like, okay. So I saw the weirdest thing last night, because I was in Mexico at the time, this a couple years ago. And I told her, I was like, we were on the beach at night and it was pitch black outside. And we saw this thing going across the sky, and I didn't really know what it was. This is when there was the green comet, and we thought that it was the green comet, but it wasn't green and it was going across the sky. And this other guy on the beach said it was probably aliens, but a bunch of people on the beach at night in Mexico where I was, the only other people on the beach are probably on drugs. So we didn't actually think it was aliens. We think they were just on drugs. And so, and she goes, oh, what you would have seen was the SpaceX launch from Pasadena. It was going, you know, from south to north in this part of the sky, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, that was the SpaceX launch. Did it look like this? And she described it perfectly. Right. And I said, yeah, no, that was exactly it. Like, she could name the exact shuttle launch that we saw through the sky. And so I said, first off, my son Calvin's going to be a bit disappointed that we didn't see an alien. But then I said, also, did you see what just happened there? And she goes, yeah, I got really excited. And I said, yeah, you did. This entire time that we were talking, that we were having this hot seat coaching session, you were kind of slumped back, you were low energy, you were saying, you know, I'm making content, I'm teaching people squats online and nobody's paying attention. And, you know, I think a lot of people take for granted, especially people who go from perhaps a brick and mortar like neighborhood type business and then try to amplify their impact online or build additional income streams online. They take for granted something that's called location bias. Basically, most people won't travel more than 20 minutes to buy something. Even less most of the time. But in gyms, people won't travel en masse more than 20 minutes to go to a gym. So if you just so happen to be the gym close by, you have location bias. You actually don't need to stand out that much. Well, all of a sudden now, when you're online, you're competing against everybody in the world. You have to figure out a way to be different, because kind of by definition, nobody needs to travel. Like, the blessing is the curse. You have to stand out in a different way. And so regardless of how good you are at what you do, you have to appreciate the fact that most of the people who were buying from you locally bought from you because you were close and convenient. And then sure, you did a good job to keep them. But now what you're doing is you're moving into a new field where there's other people who are already been there longer than you have. And so I said, you know, what if instead of just, oh, you know, here's the busy mom's guide to whatever, losing weight, or I don't remember exactly what her thing was, but I was like, what if you created the space nerd athleticism and sexification agency, SNASA? What if you created SNASA? And work with me here. You would be specifically targeting all of your fitness advice to other people who are as geekly obsessed as you are in astronomy and cosmetology. You would rename your exercises to have different types of space jokes. Like, for example, medicine ball slams, you'd call Big Bangs. You know what I'm saying? And you could go into Facebook groups for other space-obsessed geeks, and you could say, hey, what's going on? I'm Christina. I run SNASA. It's the Space Nerd Athleticism and Sexification Agency. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to figure out really clever names that are space-inspired for different exercises. I'd love you guys' help if you could help me out. Here's a bunch of exercises. Can you think of different names? Now, all of a sudden, you're getting all of these people participating in these groups. Well, space nerds buy fitness the same as anybody buys fitness, but now they have a reason to listen to and engage with and join SNASA. Take it one step farther. What else can she do? She can do space-themed or planet-themed different workouts. So Pluto is a gassy ice dwarf. She could do that as a weight loss challenge, for example. One of the other planets that has really, really heavy gravitational pull, for example. She could do that as like a muscle gain. It's like, hey, on this planet, you actually weigh 3 times more. Hey, guys, we're going to do I don't even know my space. I don't know. Let's say Saturn. Let's say it has a strong gravitational pull. Maybe it doesn't. If you like space, correct me on that. But we're going to do a Saturn-inspired muscle gain challenge. The goal of this challenge is, like Saturn, to increase, you know, your weight by 5 pounds of muscle. And you're gonna do all these space inspired things. And then to take it a step farther, you know, this is where the vision comes in. This is where it's really, really fun, because you can take your geeky obsession and you can build your vision out of it. And all of a sudden, all of your steps to marketing and branding and positioning and communicating and networking become crystal clear. Okay, well, you know exactly what groups to join. You know how to engage those groups with all of these space-themed exercises. Super cool, what I just explained. Okay, you know what publications to go and try to write for. You go to space publications and you say, hey, you know, Mercury's going to be lined up this way at this time. There's going to be this shuttle launch at that time. I'm going to do space theme inspired workouts for this shuttle launch for your magazine coming up in 2 months. And you start pitching it based off of that. You could, of course, create your content based off of the same types of things. And then you go to the different micro-influencers that also already have platforms pertaining to space and cosmetology and astronomy, and you go to them. You're not looking for big influencers with hundreds of thousands of followers, right? You're looking for these little niche people who are talking about space or space history, and you're going to them and you're saying, hey, I run SNASA. It's the Space Nerd Athleticism and Sexification Agency. I'd love to make you an inaugural member for free. You know, obviously I know that you love space. I love your videos. Can I train you for free and help get you in great shape? Not everybody's going to say yes, but some will. Now all of a sudden you become the expert to everybody who's fascinated by space for fitness, which also is what lights you up at the same time. This is the idea with following whatever it is that you're just obsessed with as just this geek and working backwards, You know, where are these people? Who are the folks that you want to connect with? How can you connect with them? How can you brand your program or your service appropriately? And then little things like every time that somebody joins SNASA, they get a SNASA badge because they've just become one of your SNASTronauts. You know what I'm saying? You can just continue to go through this and have fun with it. I mean, I think that's, shit, somebody run with this.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to invite you to buy a copy of my new book. It's called The Obvious Choice. And instead of me telling you about how good it is, what I'm going to do is just read a couple of the endorsements of others. So the first is from Jason Fifo. He's the editor-in-chief for Entrepreneur Magazine. So you can imagine this guy has seen a lot of business books. Here's what he said about The Obvious Choice. He said, if you want to win in business without feeling like you have to win the internet, get this book. It can help any marketer, small business owner, and entrepreneur. Okay, here's another one from Harley Finkelstein. He is actually the president of Shopify. Again, if you want to find somebody who knows how to sell stuff, particularly sell stuff online, but really anywhere, like somebody who is the president of Shopify probably knows what he's talking about. So here's what he said. He said, consider this required reading for anyone running a small business. Goodman nails it when it comes to business insights. This book is filled with timeless advice, and unlike so many other business books, it's a joy to read. Every entrepreneur is going to get actionable takeaways from this read. If you're selling something, you need this book in your life. Trust me, you won't regret it. There's more endorsements you'll find on the Amazon page. Those aren't the only two, of course, but I'll stop there. Please go and buy a copy of the book. It's in hardcover, it's in Kindle, it's in audio, on Amazon, wherever you find books. Hope that you absolutely love it.
I think it's a great market. It's so hard for people on this kind of stuff to run with ideas like that because they're so scared to do it, because they become so obsessed with like immediate, here's what everybody else is doing and I can't be different. And then it's like everybody's mother and crazy aunt and friend is like, oh, like, what are you, like that's weird. And you're like, of course you think it's weird. You're not obsessed with the thing that I'm obsessed with. No shit, you think it's weird. Yeah. But it immediately pulls people back. That's my worry with The Obvious Choice. I could tell you straight up what's gonna happen with this book. People are gonna read it, they're gonna immediately get it. They're going to immediately be like, well, clearly this is the way that I have to operate. This is clearly all of the problems that are embedded into our social media and our media environment and our business ecosystem right now. Clearly this is so powerful that it's addicting me to act in a way that is inefficient and goes beyond where I want it to go. But the pull is so strong that even though people will read this and begin to act on it, they're going to be pulled away from it. It's so hard to stick with this stuff day to day to day because kind of by definition, it's different. You know, industry norms are always going to try to pull us to the middle. That's what they're designed to do. In the middle, nobody stands out. In the middle, nobody causes a ruckus. In the middle, nobody causes a problem for anybody else. Nobody challenges the norms, right? By design, everybody gets brought down to the middle. And it's scary to be different. It's scary to challenge industry norms, but industry norms are usually pretty silly. Like, there's no reason for them to exist other than that's just kind of how other people do it. Well, like, are other people having success? Are other people standing out? Are other people doing anything beyond the medium? Is your goal to be in the middle? Is your goal to be in the medium? If so, follow the industry norms. If not, then clearly you have to act different and think different and be different, but you're going to have people pulling you back down, trying to. And you have to look past it. And my worry with this book is that people are going to immediately get it and see why they're so frustrated and see why so much of what they've been doing, even though it's good information and sounds good, has not been working and this is the right path so obviously, and yet they're still gonna be pulled back down and they're gonna have to fight it. And I hope that some do, but I also understand that probably a lot won't. It's not that somebody said it was weird, it was just, it's a risk. It's always a risk to execute on something that is different. And it's easier to do what everybody else is doing. It's easier to not execute at a high level. It feels safe. And it is safe if your goal is to be very average, right? And so it wasn't just that one person said like, oh, this is, you know, this seems weird. Instead, the reason why she didn't act on it, I mean, I don't know all of the reasons why she didn't act on it, but it comes down to the reason why most people don't do anything, which is it's just really hard to execute. It's hard to execute on anything when we're being pulled in so many different directions and being told by so many people, here's all of the things that we need to do every single day. You need to be here, you need to say this, you need to create video content, but actually podcasts are really good and they convert. And oh, maybe you should write a book. Oh, but also like you should network in your local community. It's like, you know, actually probably you should just choose one. The reason why we stop evolving as adults and in our businesses is very rarely a lack of work, is very rarely a lack of good information, is very rarely a lack of effort or even doing the right thing. It's actually doing too many of the right things. And as a result, our efforts are just diluted in too many places. And so, you know, that the idea of following along this, oh, I'm going to build SNASA. And I'm going to collect my snastronauts, and I'm going to go to these publications and these micro-influencers in this world. Well, you're not going to get the public recognition. And so the day-to-day can be kind of hard, right? I didn't think about it with my business. You know, I went from a model, and this is the whales and minnows on the cover of the book. Like, it's 100% logically the best way to operate, where you have a few customers who pay you a lot, as opposed to a whole bunch of customers and a whole bunch of transactions that pay you a little bit of money. You know, we get, like even this morning, over the course of the workout, you know, my wife and I worked out together, and afterwards I just flipped up my phone because I wanted to talk to you guys and whatever. And I flicked my phone and I was like, oh, just made $17,000 while we were working out. One customer, right? Okay, it was actually two customers. It wasn't one customer, it was two customers. I was like, oh, which made, and then like I look at it and I was like, oh, but actually, there's been 8 payments for my software of $30. I'm like, you know how many $30 payments I need to make the same as these two customers? But we don't get a new $10,000 plus customer every single day. I mean, we actually get a few a week now, but that has taken some time. But we don't get that many customers, right? And so as a result, days where we don't get a new customer feels like we're not winning. That's really hard to overcome. Even though one customer is going to make me more money and also allow me to do a better job, then, I mean, I don't know, I don't do public math. How many $30 customers do you need to make the same as one 10,000 customer? 330 or so, ballpark, something like that. Like, the numbers are crazy. But you don't get that immediate benefit. You don't get that immediate feedback. And it's the same, I think, with this example with SNASA. Like if you do the general thing and create the obvious content, it's pretty easy to get a lot more likes than you're going to get if you make space themed specific workouts, for example. My friend Ben Mudge is a good example of this. I talk about him a few different times actually in the book. Ben is a guy in the UK from Belfast. And super inspirational, ripped, like just jack guy, looks like Thor. And he built up a huge platform across social media, like 100,000 plus followers. And he just had a hard time converting customers. Ben's a champion. He had cystic fibrosis when he was born, so he was a champion in that community, so gained a lot of exposure from that. And he just had a hard time generating customers in that world, despite his big audience, because he wasn't standing out. Well, Ben is also a certified geek who loves the tabletop game Warhammer. I don't know much about it. It's like a tabletop strategy game. You paint little figurines and whatever. And so he's always loved this game, but he hid that, right? Because like, you don't talk about that on the internet. That's like, well, I'm a geek. Like, you don't tell anybody about that. I'm a big jacked guy who everybody wants to be with. And all of a sudden, he just decided that, oh, I'm actually going to make this my thing. And where I admire him is his trajectory in terms of his social platforms was growing, but he did not see it translating to business outcomes. And he wasn't enjoying it that much. It wasn't energizing him. What was energizing him is this game, is Warhammer. And so he started talking about Warhammer much more. And of course, there were not that many likes on those posts. But then he started networking with other people in the Warhammer community. For example, the biggest YouTuber in that game is a guy named Wargamer Dave, Dave Norquist. And Dave lives in Canada, just outside of Toronto. Ben lives in Belfast. Ben said to Dave, hey, you know, I'd love to come to your, he has like this bunker thing that he like does. Like, I'd love to come to your bunker. Like, here's who I am. I'll be in the neighborhood. And Dave said, yeah, come by. So Ben booked a flight so that he'd actually be in the neighborhood. And now Ben like trained Dave and transformed his body. And Dave has these videos about how he got into incredible shape for a Warhammer inspired movie role and how Ben was the guy who did it. And Ben is now the training expert for the Warhammer community. But what's interesting about this is that on all of the platforms that feed Ben's ego, that he has 100,000 plus followers on, his engagement is just down. But his business and his personal joy and his fulfillment are higher than they've ever been. And so that's why you follow your obsession, because your obsession can possibly bypass your ego. And I think that's what a lot of us need to do on the internet these days, is understand that what's good for the ego is bad for the wallet. But the ego is always going to pull us in.